Been a long time since we sang this one. Remember it? We will triumph in the Lord.
We will triumph.
Tell me the next part of this verse from Revelation chapter 12. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. And what was the next thing? Word of his testimony. Right. And because they love not their lives unto the death. So you'd be willing to give a testimony tonight too. We're not going to ask anybody to lay their life on the line, however. Page number 241. Oh, say, but I'm glad.
There is a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away.
Testimony
578. Thank you.
bills, 210, and then we'll get the offering and then Ryan's, only because
this is a great one to sing before the offering. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Joshua, would you come receive the offering?
Deeper, deeper.
Yeah.
else with a request? George? 5:30? I got you, Luke. I heard you. 375. I guess it goes along with it.
Actually, I wanted to do a little something unorthodox here to start out with. And you might understand some meaning of it in throughout the sermon tonight. But what I want to do, and I may get yelled at later, I want everybody to stand up. And have you ever been to the roller skating rink? Okay, there's one song that they always sing at the roller skating rink that demands participation. And that, no. And that's the Hokey Pokey.
No!
And so what I want to do is I want to do kind of a condensed version of the Hokey Pokey before we start tonight. Just kind of do the hands and the feet and then your whole body. I don't know what other moves there is. Come on, Debbie. All right, so do you know that? Just do it real quick tonight. Just remember not to shake your hips.
Shake it off.
Okay. All right, that's what it's all about. Put your left hand in, put your left hand out. Put your left hand in and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. You put your right foot in, you put the right foot out. You put your right foot in and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. Thank you. You can be seated. Now I'm out of breath. Turn with me to Daniel 3. Tonight we're going to read the whole chapter, Daniel 3. We all know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And tonight I want to look at the stand that they took and see what we can learn from that to take a stand in the areas that we live. Specifically, I want to look at the verses 17 and 18 and also verse 28. Daniel 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 90 feet wide and set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, and magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you. O king, they neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up?" Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and their clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent that the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent an angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask that you would reveal yourself to us today in your scripture and that we would be challenged to take a stand as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, that no matter what man can do to us, we will serve you and focus our attention upon what is right and just. In Jesus' name, amen. We desire so much not to hurt anyone's feelings these days that we're kind of limited on what we're allowed to talk about. We're taught to be tolerant of everyone else's needs and desires. We're taught to stay neutral so that we can all just have peace and get along. Isn't that the mentality of our nation? To tolerate each other and remember that neutrality brings peace and tolerance, and that's all we really need. If we have peace, we tolerate each other, that's all we really need in life. If we would only tolerate the evil desires, tolerate each other's sins, the world would be a better place, right? If we would tolerate each other's sins, tolerate each other's stuff, the world would be a better place? No, it would not be. And tonight, Christians, that's what I want to do. I want to challenge you to take a stand. It's time to jump into the hokey pokey of life with your whole body and shake it all around. That's the reason we sang that song. It's time not just to put your right foot in or your left foot in or your hands or your feet. It's time to jump in with your whole body and shake it around. Your neighbor one day is sitting there and he's telling you how his sister is a homosexual and they're uh, she's planning on getting married to this other homosexual, and then planning on adopting this child. And your neighbor is telling you how happy they are for the sister because she has finally found happiness, and they want you to rejoice with them. What do we do in those kind of circumstances? They happen in our day. We just sit back. I think a lot of us do. Just sit back and we kind of think, it's kind of weird, you know. And maybe I should go home and pray for him tonight. That's about the extent of it. It's Sodom and Gomorrah in our own backyard. This is an issue that we're forced to deal with nowadays. And it's time to no longer be tolerant, in my opinion. But it's time to stand up. It's not time to stand in the neutral zone because people say it brings peace. But it's time to join one team or the other. It's time to take a stand for what we believe in. Sometimes going home and praying isn't just the answer. Sure, I'm not saying that we shouldn't go home and pray for them. We should. But should we sit there and say, well, I'm so happy that your sister is a homosexual and she is so happy and I hope she gets this baby that she's trying to adopt. And then go home and pray for him? No. I believe there is times that we should just keep our mouth shut and go home and pray. But there is also times that we need to stand up and say, I'm sorry. But what your sister is doing is wrong. And I can't condone it. And I'm not happy for them. And at some point in some time in their life, they will pay for the sins that they are committing now. It's time to count the cost and make a decision. Daniel 3:10 and 12 says, "You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harps, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews who have been set over the affairs of province in Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, king. They serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set before them." Don't be mistaken for the fact that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't understand what they were dealing with. They knew the decree of the king that when the music was played, that they were to bow down and worship the idol that was before them. There was no big surprise. They realized that if they were to make a stand, they would be put to death. But they were willing to make that stand. They didn't care that their punishment may be death. It's time for us to take a stand for what we believe in. Everyone else does in the world. They have the Million Man March. They have the Gay Pride Days. I mean, they have all their hoopla, and they petition our government. And I have one right here that I just want to read for you tonight. I got this one, a few weeks ago, lady in the bank gave me. This is actually a petition to stop what they're petitioning for. CBS may be forced to discontinue Touched by an Angel because they use the word God in every program. Madeline Murray O'Hare, an atheist, successfully eliminated the use of Bible reading and prayer from schools 15 years ago. Her organization has now been granted a federal hearing on the same subject by the Federal Communications Commission in Washington, D.C. Their petition number 2493 would ultimately pave the way to stop the reading of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ on the airwaves of America. Their petition is supported so far with 287,000 signatures. If they are successful, all Sunday worship services being broadcast either by radio or television must cease. This group is also campaigning to remove all Christmas programs, Christmas songs, and Christmas carols from the public schools. They have 287,000 signed signatures petitioning the government and the communication to allow them to stop every word dealing with God from going over any airways. Christians, it's time to stand up, and it's time to do something about what's going on. It's time to stand up for the God we serve and what He teaches. To be honest with you, I'm tired of being passive. You know, a Christian's supposed to be loving and kind and gentle, and they are. But at the same time, we're supposed to be warriors with the word, destroying the enemy. We all have rights, and we would hate to infringe on everyone else's. We cannot say what others are doing is wrong, because that would infringe on their rights. It's improper to do that anymore. In fact, if I was to lead a teenager to Christ, their parents could come and sue me for brainwashing their child. That is the country we live in. We live in a country that tells me what I can and cannot say from up here. And I didn't even realize that I couldn't talk about some issues from up here because they're considered political issues. They can limit me on that. A vessel of God being controlled by man. What truly has become of us? Christians have become a bunch of whiny babies unwilling to take a stand. And I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings today because I'm the same as you. And all I want to do today is to challenge us to take that stand, to take that extra, to leap. Are we willing to allow Satan to keep our mouths shut any longer so that he can continue to kill our babies, kill our elderly? And are we willing to sit down while they tell our children, as a part of education, that it's okay to be homosexual? And then, in fact, it's a preferred way of life. I can hear some of you saying right now, wait a minute, don't be talking politics. What I would say is I'm not talking politics. They have made it politics. To me, it's the Word of God. To me, it stands against what the Bible teaches. And I plan to stand firm against it. It's about standing up for what God has said to be true. We must stand as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did when they told the king in verse 17 and 18, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. We need to be determined in our hearts, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was, that we will not put up with this trash anymore. That no matter what the cost, I personally will stand. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego probably wouldn't have had to obey the king or disobey the king. They could have stayed neutral. They could have just bowed down before the statue and said to themselves, it's either this or die. And what good am I to God if I'm dead? So I'll just bow. I don't really want to, but I'm tired today and I, you know, really don't feel like having any confrontations. So I'm sure God will understand if I just bow. No, I won't truly worship the statue. I will just lay prostrate before it and think about something else. Is that something that some of us would have said or done? Sometimes it's just easier to sit back and allow certain things to go on around us. You see, we want people to like us. I want people to like me. You're out with your friends and they want to go do something that you know is questionable. Watch some movie you know you shouldn't see, or go someplace where you know you shouldn't go. Sometimes it's just easier to go along. You get tired of conflicting with your with friends and that are going in another way. And sometimes it's just easier, you know, they're driving and you're riding with them just to say, well, I don't care. If you really want to do it, let's just go do it. Sometimes it's just easier to say that. It's hard to stand up and say, no, I will not do that. We all want people to like us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were the administrators over the province of Babylon. You think they wanted to be liked? Of course they wanted to be liked. They're human. Tell me someone that doesn't want to be liked, and I'll show you someone that no one likes. They immediately lost relationships the minute they took a stand. There's no doubt that taking a stand for God causes ripples in relationships. Jesus said to his disciples that all men will hate you because of me. Matthew 10:21-23. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child. Children will rebel against his parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man returns. In verses 34 and 39, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. These verses show the stand that we must take. It's inevitable. It's an inevitable result of taking a stand for God is conflict. There's natural conflict between light and darkness. Jesus is the light, Satan is darkness. If we are in the light and others we love are in the darkness, there's conflict. There's conflict between Christ's children and the devil's children. I'm sure you see it in your own family or groups of friends. I know I do. I love the guys I went to high school with. But they have chosen to go a different way. And it is inevitable that when I spend time with them, their desires are different than my desires. And though I don't want to be apart from them in relationship, they choose to leave. They choose to walk a different direction. My idea of fun isn't the same as theirs anymore. And no matter how much I love them, I'm not willing to give up what I believe in, what I teach, and what I live to be with them. But friends are actually the easy ones to give up. I can't imagine having parents that are at conflict with their children because their children have accepted Christ. But there are. I thought I had seen it all until I had seen parents encouraging their teenagers to go to parties rather than go to church. Or parents grounding their children from church and then letting them go the next night to movies with their friends. Something I'll never understand. I commend a teenager who can remain strong when their parents are against them. It was hard for me with my parents for me. I cannot imagine a teenager standing strong when their parents are against them. And it happens. And as a parent now, I can't imagine a parent encouraging a child to go to a party rather than to church. But I see it when we're at camp. I've seen parents call their kids and say, and discourage them and say, don't believe the trash that you're hearing up there. Don't come back all religious on us. Those guys are just fanatics. Don't listen to what they have to say. But I want to encourage you that someday they will respect you for the stand that you took. Just like they respected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's a natural conflict between good and evil. And as Pastor said this morning, it is time to put an end to family curses and begin a lineage of blessing. And teenagers, if your parents aren't serving God, that's directly for you. I mean, it is time that you take the stand. You take a hold of the reins and move that horse. We must take a stand for God as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. We must take a stand as Daniel did in chapter 6 when he was not willing to give up prayer, but instead he prayed for 3 times a day with his window open, even though it was against the law. We must stand as Moses did and say that God's people will no longer be slaves, but they shall be free to worship him. We must stand as for Christ as Stephen did as he stood before the Sanhedrin, knowing that he was going to be punished for what he said by death. We must stand as Paul did, suffering greatly for the cause of Christ. We must stand like the disciples in other sense that said that even though they may put me to death, I will stand. We must stand as Reggie White did as he stood before the Wisconsin government and said homosexuality is a sin. Because of what he said, he lost his job, his contract as a sports commentator, and he lost his soup commercials. Because we must stand like Pastor as he preaches the Word of God in time when churches and pastors are choosing to compromise the truth for unity and church members. We see so many churches now. Let's join together. You know, we can negate this fact of our religion as long as we have people in our pews and we have pastors to share. And I appreciate that fact. You see, those people are like the square. And we're also like this piece of paper that is in the shape of a square. But if we decide not to stand, and we start to compromising some of our beliefs. Let's say we compromise the fact that maybe we think it's all right that women kill their babies, you know, as long as they're happy. And maybe we compromise the fact that homosexuality really doesn't hurt us individually, so if they want to do it, as long as they don't tell me about it, I don't mind. And we start compromising the fact that maybe salvation isn't through Jesus Christ alone and faith in Him. Maybe as long as you're a good person, we'll all get to heaven. Maybe we should give up the idea that we need to come to church and be with each other. Because, you know, you really can get all that stuff over TV anyways. And after a while, we're no longer that square that we were. By just compromising 4 areas of our life, we've now become a circle. We're not the same person. We're someone else. We stand for other things. People who fall away from God don't just wake up one day and say, I think I'm going to become the devil's child today instead of God's. No, what happens is we start compromising certain areas in our life until we eventually wake up one morning and realizing we're no longer a square. I know everybody here tonight, and I can say that, and I can hear you saying, well, I want to stand up. And I try to stand up, and I'm just not that strong, and it's hard, and I need help. You're right, it is hard. It's not an easy thing. And that's why we come to church. That's one of the reasons I come to church. We need to be together, to build each other up. So together we can stand. Also, in order to stand firm for Jesus, we must be grounded in His Word. It's kind of hard to stand for something that we really don't know or understand. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew God's law. Exodus 20:3-5 says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven or above, heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generations of those who hate him." If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't know God's law, they could have never made the stand. We too need to know God's word. We need to hide it in our hearts so that we might not sin against him. We also need to know God's word because the people in the Bible are examples. By reading the stories in the Bible, they prod us to continue on. They are victorious stories that we can read and say, "I want to be like that person." Like this morning when we learned about Job. Kyle says, "I want to be Job." And I was like, "Oh, you don't want to be Job." But what he meant is he wanted to have the faith of Job and say, "I'm going to praise God no matter what happens in my life." We need to spend time with God if we want to stand for him. Seems kind of silly to take a stand for a God that we don't really know or don't have a relationship. Why stand for a God that we don't know? In order to take a radical stand with me, we must spend time with the one true God. We need to pray in the Spirit, use the language that God has given us. We should seek him in every decision that we make. We should spend time with him. In order to stand firm, we must realize that God is standing right next to us. We are not standing alone, though sometimes it may seem like it. God is with us. Acts 23:11. "The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, 'Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, you must also testify in Rome.'" The Lord stood right next to Paul and said, "Take courage." You know, that really never stood out to me before, the fact of the Lord standing next to Paul. And he's whispering in his ear and he's saying, "Take courage. You can do it." He's saying, "Carl, take courage." He's saying, "George, take courage. You can do it." He's saying, "Bob, don't give up. You can do it." He's got his arm around you and he's saying, "Pastor, continue on." With God with us, who can be against us? There is no need to compromise. He promises that we can do all things through him who gives us strength. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We also need to see the internal importance of taking a stand for God. Like Pastor said this morning, what we do will affect many generations to come. Sometimes we don't realize the eternal importance of the things that we do. Though sometimes it may seem that your stand is for nothing and that no one notices, I guarantee that someone is watching. I guarantee that someone notices and it makes a difference for all eternity in their lives. And someday, as you stand before Jesus, someone will come up to you and they will say, "You may not know me now, but you changed my life when you made that stand. You may not know me now, but you changed my life when you took that stand." Our stand that we take has eternal importance. If we want to take a stand, we must be willing to be grounded in his word. We must spend more time with him in prayer. We must have fellowship with others taking a stand. And we must realize the internal significance. You see, without those things, we are pyromaniacs. No. I hope not. Without those things, we are like this piece of paper, these papers here. Guys, these are both newspapers. Without those things in our lives, we will burn up. But when we have those things in our lives, when we spend time, this stuff will not burn. This stuff is protected by a fire retardant material. That stuff should burn, but it isn't. Without doing each of these things, we're like the paper that is easily burned. But with these, we become fireproof, covered with a special layer of faith and love, not easily burned by the devil. If I could have everyone's head bowed and eyes closed. I've not come to make anyone feel bad tonight, but I've come to challenge you to take a stand. Maybe you've never really taken a stand before. Challenge you to take a stand tonight. Maybe you're already taking a stand. I challenge you to examine yourself and pray that you could take a deeper stand so that you could stand up for God. We need to spend time with God and find ways that we can stand for Him. Youth, you prayed that for starting school soon. What kind of stand are you going to make? I want you to determine that tonight. Are we going to be like the square, or are we going to be like the circle? We can choose to cut certain things that we believe out of our lives, and we can become like the circle. Or we can become like the fire retardant newspaper. And we can stand firm in the beliefs that we have been taught. And stand firm in for God and His Word and all that He holds to be true and just. What I want you to do, if you would acknowledge the fact that you want to make a stand. You want to... I don't want to encourage you to make this little stand. I want you to challenge God to allow you to make a large stand. Anyone can stand up and then sit back down. It's a matter of standing on the rock and not being blown off. If you would acknowledge that with me, what I would like you to do is to stand with me now. May we live differently than others, a peculiar people, not trimming off convictions and beliefs to be like everyone else. May we be fireproof, standing firm. May we look for other opportunities to share with people. Because when we look for opportunities, God places them right in front of us. And as we take a stand, it's like climbing ladders, or it's climbing steps. You take one step up, and you're a little higher. You take one step up, you're a little higher. That's what taking a stand does. You may take a small stand now, but as you grow, the stands become stronger. Let's sing page 273.
I'm standing up for Jesus, the soldiers of the cross.
you chose earlier. And I know it's getting a little late, but not really. I want you to know that these altars are open. And what I would like is I'd like you to seek God for a place that you can take a stand in your life right now that you've been compromising, or something that you know that you need to stand up for that you haven't been. So as we sing this song, is it 210? I'm sorry. Apologize. 210. Fireproof by spending time with God and His people. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to spend time with each other and with You. Lord, for challenging us to stand firm. May we do that, Jesus. May we stand for what You uphold and believe and teach. Lord, may we do it in love, and may we care for people. Lord, may we become fireproof, and may we think about ways that we can stand this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You'll make a stand. You're all going to have an opportunity to take a real stand in November when it comes time to vote. And I'm surprised that some Christians, we have very good Christian friends, and they didn't even know the difference between Al Gore and George Bush. And truly, they didn't even know which one belonged to which party. And when I talked to a woman in politics, the woman said, well, Jesse would run, she told for Jesse. But now, and these are Christian people, and we really, Christians, as a, really need to take a stand or whatever. Yeah. And educate ourselves to the candidates and take a stand.
I'm not allowed to say that from up here.
I know you're not.
Right. Not because pastor or anything, that's the law.
I'm not.